Would you take your hymnal this morning and join us in our call to worship? Let's sing the first and second verses of Blessed Be the Tithe, 387. We'll sing the first and second verses.
So seldom sing another verse of that. That was kind of neat. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for the beautiful day that you've given us, another opportunity to come into this place and worship you. God, I pray for those that that wish they could be here today but are in hospitals or stuck at home. I pray that you'd help them to know that we still think about them, still love them. I pray that you'd be an encouragement to them today. For those in here, God, that came in and are desperate, I pray that you would open their hearts and minds to what you would say to them. For those who came in here and they're in a good spot right now, God, I pray that you would help them to worship you in spirit and in truth, raise their voices in joy and song. God, that you'd help us all to weep with those who weep and laugh with those who laugh and mourn with those who mourn. Use this day for your glory. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you. Be seated. A couple of quick things. If you have an article for the March newsletter, please get that down to Sherry's office. She'll be working on that this week. Today at 4:30, you think Daytona was something last week? We have the Awana Grand Prix this afternoon. Come and join us at 4:30. How long is it going to last? Nobody knows. So anyway, come and be a part. It'll be a lot of fun. We will not have evening service tonight. We'll probably still be racing at 7 o'clock. So come join us. Tomorrow night, our Mona class is going to be feeding over at the community shelter. Please pray for them as they do that. Deacons will be meeting on Tuesday. Wednesday, we have a neat opportunity. We're going to be serving dessert to the teachers over at Forest Hills High School. And in order for us to do that, we need dessert to do that. So if you can help us with that, Amy, wave at everybody. Amy's right there. She's kind of in charge of that. You can drop cakes, pies, cookies, whatever off at the Life Center on Tuesday night. And if you want to help serve, you can do that. We'll be serving about 3 o'clock over at the high school. So see Amy if you can help us with that. You got lots of stuff going on in your bulletin. Children's choir, men's retreats coming up quickly, as is Easter. It seems like a long way off, but we're already getting ready for summer youth camp. There's a note about that as well. And then March the 28th, our event over in the Life Center, Scott Davis will be here. He's a comedian that travels all over the country. We're going to do dessert and just have a lot of fun laughing together that night. A great event to invite folks to. A lot of folks won't come on a Sunday morning, but they may come for dessert and just to spend some time laughing. So please get that on your calendar and invite your friends. In fact, invite your enemies. That would be a good night for your enemies to come as well. Well, I know we have guests today, and maybe today's your first time with us. If it is, we want to give you some information. Everything in the packet's yours, including that nice ink pen. But please take a moment to fill out the little white card sometime and get that to somebody before you leave. It just gives us a chance to write you and thank you for being a part of the service today. So let's all stand, please, in honor of our guest. And if you see somebody brand new, you stop our ushers and make sure they get that information.
Let's join together in singing through the chorus, "The Family of God." Then we'll take a moment to greet those around us this morning. The Family of God. If you take your hymnal once again, turn to hymn 382, "God the Father of Your People," 382.
was making out my check for church this morning, I saw a video this week. Some of you know that we went down to Guatemala. Our North Carolina Baptists had purchased an orphanage down there that used to be run by the Catholic Church, and it's a long story, but they had to close, and we went down as Baptists and bought the orphanage. And I saw a video about the first child that came through that orphanage. The child was abandoned by its mom. She left it in those of you who've been down in Central America, it's called a pila. It's the place where they get water and do their laundry. And she couldn't raise the child, so she left it there at the pila. And a lady, for some reason, was out in the middle of the night and heard the baby crying. And that's the first child that came through our orphanage in Guatemala. And that child has now been adopted by a family down there. And it was so cool. You know, we come in and we give our offering, and you might not think much about it, but the offering that you give literally is changing lives, not only here but around the world. And it was just so neat to see that this week, and I wanted to pass that on to you. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Father, we do thank you that you allow us to be part of what your kingdom's work. And God, you don't need us. You own everything there is to own. But you allow us to be a part of it. And we're so grateful, Father. I pray today that you'd put it on people's hearts to give so that others' lives can be changed. And God, that you bless them according to your word. Use our gifts today to bring men, women, boys, and girls into your kingdom. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Not working.
Why?
Not working. Is it working?
Why?
All right. You got to know the language. Hey, y'all, today's the last Sunday in February, which means the last Sunday that of the love month. Preacher Carol put it out in the newsletter, and, you know, the four Sundays we got. And so today I want to talk about something I've seen on the news this week. But you guys, I'm going to ask you, somebody tell me, have you guys ever had somebody say something to you or do something to you that makes you sad or angry or upset or cry? Anybody? No? You got some good, you have? You haven't? You have? You haven't? Y'all got some good friends.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome.
When he wants to bring my Bible to church.
Say it again.
When Hannah wanted to bring my Bible to church.
Oh, Hannah wanted to bring your Bible to church? Oh, she hurt your feelings? Did she? Did you want to bring Hannah's Bible to church? No, you didn't. Hannah just wanted to bring your Bible. Okay. Well, you can forgive her for that, right? And when y'all eat lunch together, you'll hug on her and love on her. And yeah, I know. That's just one of those things you do. Well, I want to share a story with you guys that happened this week. There's a little boy named Quentin Bales. Quaylen Bales? I think that's his name, Quaylen Bales. He's 9 years old, and he's got a birth defect called dwarfism. Chase, can you stand up? You can't? Okay. Well, he stands about this tall, but he's 9 years old, and he should be real tall. And he just doesn't look like the rest of the kids. And the other kids made fun of him. The other kids were talking about him and making fun of him and bullying him and doing things they shouldn't do. And it upset him and made him cry. So you guys say you never have anybody say anything bad to you guys? That's great. Because what I want you to get across, or what I want to get across today to you, is try not to do that to others. Because what happens is when you make fun of somebody or say something bad, it makes them feel bad. And eventually, as you get older, that's probably going to happen to you because it does happen. So what I want to tell you today is in John 13:34 in the Bible, it says, I give you a new command, love others as I have loved you. So we're supposed to love all people like God loves us. Do you know that God loves you? How big is God? How big is God?
Huh? A lot.
God's big, ain't he? Yeah, God's huge. Nobody can love you more than God. Not even your parents, grandparents. Nobody can love you more than God. God loves you, and he wants us to love others like he loves us. Okay? Here's another reason why we should love everybody. Because when we get to heaven, is there going to be hate in heaven? No. Anybody going to talk about other people in heaven? No.
Why?
All right. Yeah, you will. So when we get to heaven, we got to be prepared that we're going to love people and love on people. And let's do it here. So hope you guys have a great February.
Why?
That's right. So let's pray, okay? Father God in heaven, we thank you for these kids. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for this church. Help us, Father God, just continue to push these kids in a way that you see fit, Father God, for us. And Father God, your will be done. Thank you for this lighthouse that we have here. May we just share in this community, Father God, the things we need to do, Father God, and we're led by you. We thank you for your grace and mercy. Bless us today. May we allow the Holy Spirit to move in this church today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Let's join together again in singing the first, second, and third verses of More About Jesus, hymn number 600. May we stand?
Oh,
Gaither keeps trying, he might write a good song one day, huh? Good stuff. Well, back when I was, back when dinosaurs roamed the earth and I was a little boy, we had rules for eating at the family dinner table, and maybe some of you had rules too. Here is one of mine. One of the first rules we had is we always said a blessing before we ate the meal. That was true no matter whether we were at home or whether those few times that we went out to restaurants, we always said a blessing at the meal. Normally, that fell to my father. Later, when my father was gone and my grandparents moved in with us, that fell to my grandfather. And my grandfather was a very humble man, always started his prayers the same way, and you guys have noticed that in my prayers. He always thanked God for another beautiful day. It could be pouring down rain. It could be snow. I mean, it could be anything. But he always thanked God for another beautiful day. And I would give $1,000 if I could hear my grandfather say the blessing one more time. But it was one of the rules at our house. Another rule that we had during dinner time was the TV had to be off. I thank God that I grew up in an era before we had electronic devices and cell phones. But in those days, the only distraction was the TV, and we always turned it off when it was time for dinner time so we could focus on each other. A final rule that we had is you always had to clean your plate before you got dessert, right? Some of y'all remember that rule. When I had children of my own, though, and I went to my mom's house, I found that that rule no longer applies to grandchildren. That only applies to children. I was talking with Dennis Burton. This was not in my notes, but I thought about it. Dennis Burton was saying the rule at his house as far as meals is always at Grandpa's house, the answer is always yes. He said his granddaughter looked at him a few weeks ago and said, "Poppy, can we have Cheetos and mac and cheese for lunch?" And he looked at her and said, "Now what's the rule at my house?" Of course we can have Cheetos and mac and cheese for lunch. Some of you may have had other rules. I know in some families it was all about the elbows. You know, you're not supposed to have your elbows on the table. There was even a little poem that went with that one. And you'd fill in your name here, but it's like, "Carol, Carol, if you're able, keep your elbows off the table." Do y'all remember that little poem? Some families had rules about who got served first. In some families, the children got served first. In some families, the adults got served first. When I was over in South Africa, I was in a home where the men got served first. And when I was at that home, the pastor and I, we got served first. Nobody else ate till we finished eating. And then the women and children came in and got served. And on that same trip, we had a pastor that was in another family, it was in a tribal family, and the women had to stay on a lower level than the men. So if the men were standing, the women had to be seated. If the men were seated, the women had to crawl. Now, guys, just in case you think that's a good idea, that doesn't work in America. That will not end well for you if you try that at your house. Well, anyway, today we're going to talk about table rules or supper rules according to Jesus. If you have your Bibles, turn with me over to Luke 14. Jesus is going to talk about the rules for having supper. We start with verse 1. And it happened as Jesus went into the house of one of the rulers of the Pharisees to eat bread on the Sabbath, that they watched him, Jesus, closely. And behold, there was a certain man before him who had dropsy. And Jesus answered and spoke to the lawyers and the Pharisees, saying, "Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath?" And they kept silent. And he took him and healed him and let him go. Then Jesus answered them, saying, "Which of you, having a donkey or an ox that has fallen into a pit, will not immediately pull him out of the pit on the Sabbath day?" And they could not answer him regarding these things. So he told a parable to those who were invited when he noticed how they chose the best places, saying to them, "When you're invited by anyone to the wedding feast, don't sit down in the best place, lest one more honorable than you be invited by him. And he who invited you and him come and say to you, 'Give place to this man.' And then you begin to be with shame to take the lowest place. But when you're invited, go and sit down in the lowest place, so that when he who invited you comes, he may say to you, 'Friend, go up higher.' Then you'll have glory in the presence of those who sit at the table with you. For whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted." Then he also said to them, to him who invited him, "When you give a dinner or a supper, do not ask your friends or brothers or your relatives or your rich neighbors, lest they also invite you back and you be rewarded. But when you give a feast, invite the poor and the maimed and the blind, and you will be blessed because they cannot repay you, for you will be repaid by the resurrection of the just. Now, when one of those who sat at the table with him heard these things, he said to him, "Blessed is he who eats bread in the kingdom of God." Jesus said to him, "A certain man gave a great supper, and he invited many. And he sent his servants at supper time to say to those who were invited, 'Come, for all things are now ready.' But they all with one accord began to make excuses. The first said to him, 'I've bought a piece of ground, and I must go and see it. I ask you to have me excused.' Another said, 'I bought a yoke of oxen, and I'm going to test them. I ask you to have me excused.' Still another said, 'I've married a wife, therefore I cannot come.' So that servant came and reported these things to his master. And the master of the house, being angry, said to his servants, 'Go out quickly into the streets and the lanes of the city, and bring here the poor and the maimed and the lame and the blind.' And the servant said, 'Master, it is done as you commanded, and still there's room.' Then the master said to his servant, 'Go out into the highways and hedges, compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. For I say to you that none of those who were invited shall taste my supper.'" Father, help us today as we study your word. Open his truths to our heart. Use it to mold us and change us and make us more like your son. And it's in his name we pray. Amen. So Jesus has been invited by one of the Pharisees to have bread with him on the Sabbath day. Now, we talked a little bit about Sabbath last week and how the tradition was. Jesus has been invited by this Pharisee, not because the Pharisee liked him, not because he honored him or respected him. He's there so that Jesus can be accused of something. He can be criticized. And there at the table, there's a man who has dropsy. Now, that's an odd term. The scholars believe this meant edema. He had some kind of swelling going on with fluid. But anyway, this man has been invited, and they seated him, the guest seated him right in front of Jesus. There was no way for Jesus to miss him. There was no way for Jesus to say later, "I did not see this." Jesus is confronted with this guy who is hurting, and he's right in front of him. Now let me stop here to make a point. Many times when you're having a meal, God will place somebody right in front of you that needs your attention, that needs your help, that needs your encouragement. It happened to my wife and daughter yesterday. Christy, most of you know what my daughter's dealing with, and she had to get out of the house. And I don't know how many restaurants there are in this county. Somebody may know that number, but I know it's over 200. But they had a craving for a particular restaurant, and they went in, and the waitress there needed to be encouraged. And the waitress didn't know, my family didn't know, but they had a divine appointment at that moment. Can I tell you, in about an hour, you may have one of those appointments as well. It may be that the waitress that you're going to see in just a little while needs some encouragement. She needs a kind word. And sometimes that craving that you have is something that God put there so that you can be in the right place at the right time. So anyway, here's this man, and he's right in front of Jesus. And Jesus looks at the Pharisee and said, "Let me ask you a question. Is it lawful for me to heal this guy on the Sabbath day?" Now notice, they don't reply. They don't give him any answer because there's no answer for them to give. And he says to the man, he touches the man, he heals the man, and lets him go. And notice what he says. "You would have done the same thing for an animal. You would have done for an animal what I just did for this man. Why is it not lawful for me to heal this man?" Now, let me ask you, a lot of times, even in today, we have the same issue to come up in churches where tradition gets in the way of helping people. My wife and I were at this church in Rock Hill for a time. The pastor there was a guy named Bully Falkenberry. Bully had been a rough guy growing up. He was one of those guys that If folks saw him coming down the street, they would cross the street to avoid him. When he got saved, he became one of the most gentle, kind individuals I've ever met. And so Bully sometimes would get up in the pulpit on a Sunday morning, and he would say something like this: I have been made aware of a need in our community. And I'm not going to tell you what the need is. I'm not going to tell you the circumstance. I'm not going to tell you who the person is. But we're going to receive an offering for them because they're in our community and they need help. And he would call the ushers down and they would start passing the plates and we'd receive a love offering. And nobody knew why. Now, in some churches, that would get you in trouble because you didn't get approval ahead of time. In some churches, that would get you in trouble because, well, I want to know who I'm helping. You know, I want to know what the circumstance is. It's the same issue. It's just a different millennium. I know that in my last church, we decided that we were going to do an outreach program for folks who were lost in our community. And does anybody know when the best time is to go witness to lost folks in your community? It's Sunday. Do you know why? Because they're at home. they're not in church on Sunday, right? We know where they are. So here's what we did on this particular Sunday. We took one team and we took them down to the local golf course. And we put them down on hole number 12. If you play in golf, those of you know, by the time you get to hole number 12, you're tired, you're thirsty. And so we set up a lemonade stand there and gave them free lemonade. And they would try to pay us. And we'd say, oh, no, we're just giving this away for free. We just want to tell you that Jesus said, anyone who's thirsty can come to me. And we gave them a little track and a thing of lemonade. We sent another group out into our neighborhood, just went door to door. You know what they had? They had a bunch of light bulbs. Any of y'all need light bulbs at your house? I always need light bulbs at my house. And so we just sent them with a bunch of light bulbs. They'd knock on the door and they'd say, hey, we got some light bulbs. We're giving them away. Can we just give you some? And they would be like, well, why are you out here doing this? And we said, because Jesus is the light of the world. How many would you like? We sent another group. We sent them down to the local QT, and we let them wash windshields of people that came by. And they're like, no, I don't have any money. Don't wash. We said, we don't want any money. We're not taking up any money. We're just doing this for free. And they said, why are you doing this? I said, because we love you, and Jesus loves you, and we just want to serve you like him. So we did that on a Sunday. Guess what happened Sunday afternoon when my phone started ringing? I had folks complaining. Well, they should have been in church. Same problem. Same problem, different millennium. So Jesus heals the man and he lets him go. And he turns to the Pharisees and he said, if you had an animal fall in the pit, you'd get him out. And I'm just touching this guy and healing him. Table lesson number one. Sometimes the most important part of the meal is not the eating of the food. Look around and see those who are in need. So secondly, Jesus tells this parable. A parable is an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. In this parable, this man is having a wedding feast and he's invited a lot of people. And so when the dinner bell rings and it's time to take your seat, people are jockeying to get the best seat. They want to be as close to the host as they can because that makes them feel important. This guy invited me. He's the host. Let me sit close up here. And Jesus said, be careful about that because you may be seated in a place of honor and that place might not be meant for you. It may be that there's somebody more important than you and the host is going to come over to you and say, you need to go sit back there. And let me get this place. And then you'll be embarrassed. He said, no. When you go to a banquet, you take the worst seat. And that way, if the host comes and brings you up to the front, it'll make you look better. I had this happen to me one time. I will never forget it. Tara Quinn, most of you know, runs the Crisis Pregnancy Center here. And Tara and I had bumped into each other somewhere. And she had invited me. The Pregnancy Center does a banquet every year. It's a real big affair. And I had never been to it. So Tara invited me to come and be a part of the banquet. And so I was excited. My wife and I went and we got there and there's this table spread out. It's got everybody's name tag. And I went over and started looking for my name. Now, if your last name's Anthony, it's easy to find your name tag, right? Because it's up there real close. I couldn't find it. And the lady behind the counter's like, "Are you sure you were invited?" I said, "Yes, I was invited." She said, "Who invited you?" I said, "Miss Tara invited me." And I'll never forget, she took out her little Sharpie and she had a little blank card. And she wrote my name on there, wrote Sherry's name on there. Said, "You guys will be sitting at table number 32. Table 32 ain't near the front. Can I just say? We're sitting all the way back at table 32 with the other people that nobody knows. And we're about halfway through our salad, and Tara came by our table. And she said, "Oh, Carol, I'm so glad you're here. I hadn't seen you. I wanted you to sit with me at my table." So I picked up my little salad. And we went from table 32 to table number 1 in front of everybody. Now, you have to understand, I wasn't sitting at table 1 because I was going to write a big check. I could write a big check, but it wouldn't be good. I'm not sitting at table 1 because I'm the most important guy in the room. Guess why I'm sitting at table 1? Because the host invited me, right? I'm in a place of honor only because of my host. Can I tell you, when we sit at that great supper table, we will not be there because we're the most important. We will not be there because we're the smartest. We will not be there because we did the most for the kingdom. We will be there because we know we have been invited by the host. Table lesson number 2, whoever exalts himself will be humbled. Whoever humbles himself will be exalted. Then Jesus gives some advice about giving a party. He said, when you have a party, when you have a dinner, don't just invite those people that can pay you back. You go and you invite those people who have no way of paying you back. And then you'll get blessed by God. Philip Yancey, in his book, What's So Amazing About Grace, told this great story. There's this couple that had planned to get married, and they had planned this lavish reception at the Hyatt Regency Hotel. And about 3 or 4 weeks before the wedding, the groom backed out. 3 or 4 weeks before the wedding. So the bride, after getting over the initial shock, she goes down to the Hyatt Regency to see if she can get her deposit back, which was half of the amount of the banquet. Guess what? The Hyatt Regency, do y'all know that they're real nice about stuff like that? No. They told her that deposit has already been, that deposit is gone. And she said, they said, "You're not going to get that money back. You can either throw another party or you just have to say goodbye to that money." Let me tell you what she did. Let me read from that book. It seems crazy, but the more the jilted bride thought about it, the more she liked the idea of going ahead with the party. Not a wedding banquet, mind you, but a blowout. 10 years before, this same woman had been living in a homeless shelter. She got back on her feet, found a good job, and laid aside a sizable nest egg. Now she had the wild notion of using her savings to treat the down and outs of Boston to a night on the town. And so it was that in June of 1990, the Hyatt Regency in downtown Boston hosted such a party that was never seen before. The hostess changed the menu to boneless chicken in honor of the groom. She sent out invitations to the rescue mission, to the homeless shelter. That warm summer night, people who were used to peeling off half-eaten pizza off cardboard dined on chicken cordon bleu, Hyatt Regency waiters in tuxedos served hors d'oeuvres to senior citizens propped up by crutches and aluminum walkers. Bag ladies, vagrants, and addicts took one night from their hard life on the sidewalks outside and instead sipped champagne, ate chocolate wedding cake, and danced to melodies late into the night. What a great idea. Would love to have been there. Table lesson number 3, always invite someone to dinner who can't pay you back. Finally, Jesus tells another parable. A man gave a great supper and he invited many. And when the preparations were complete, he said to the servant, go tell the guys that were invited that it's time to come and eat. And they began to make excuses. The first one said, I bought a piece of land and I have to go look at it. Now, if anybody in here could fall into that excuse, I have this beachfront property that I inherited in Kansas. It's right on the ocean. And if you want to talk to me about buying it later, I'd love to talk to you. What a silly excuse. He's bought some land. He's going to go look at it. The second guy said, I bought 5 yoke of oxen and I've got to go test them. That would be like buying a car without test driving, without looking at it, without reading any reviews about it. He said, I got to go test them. It was a silly, silly excuse. And then the last person, he said, I got married and my wife won't let me come. Now, guys, we all have used that excuse before, right? To do something we didn't want to do. My wife won't let me. When we know, don't we, guys? If there's something we want to do, we're going to do it anyway. What a crazy excuse. So all of these people that were invited, that they say, no, we're not coming. Remember, it's an earthly story, but it has a heavenly meaning. He's talking about the marriage supper of the Lamb here, written about in Revelation 19. Let me read it to you. Then a voice from the throne saying, praise our God, all you his servants, those who fear him, great and small. And I heard, as it were, a great multitude, the sound of many waters, as the sound of mighty thunderings, saying, hallelujah, for the Lord God omnipotent reigns. Let us rejoice and be glad and give him glory, for the marriage supper of the Lamb has come, and his wife has made herself ready. And to her it was granted to be arrayed in fine linen, bright, for the fine linen are the righteous acts of the saints. Then he said to me, write, blessed are those who are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said, these are the true sayings of God. I don't know about you, I'm looking forward to that supper. I'm looking forward to that day when we'll finally see him face to face. And you know what? All of us have been invited. The Bible says, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever, that's you and me, whosoever believes in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. It says if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. All of us have been invited. No matter who you are, where you've been, what you've done, you can come and be invited to that supper by giving your heart and life to Jesus. It's the only way to get to that banquet. You don't get into that banquet by going to church. You don't get into that banquet by writing checks to the church. You don't get in that banquet by singing in the choir, working in Awanas. You get in that banquet by grace and grace alone. But some people make excuses. For some, it's their lifestyle. For some, it's their job. For some, it's their opinion about how they think God ought to run his universe. But whatever the excuse, they make excuses. And they're going to miss the banquet. So the servant comes back to his master. By the way, if you're a Christian, if you're a Christian and you're looking for your peace in this parable, you're the servant. The servant comes back to his master and says, look, none of those people that you invited are going to come. They made excuses. He said, okay, you go out and find the poor and the lame. You go out and find those that nobody else wants, and I'll invite them to my supper. Listen, I'm one of those. I didn't grow up with silver spoon. We bought our spoons at Walmart. I'm a nobody from no place. You know, can anything good come out of Nazareth? They said about Jesus. Well, let me ask you, can anything good come out of Broome Street in Lincolnton? Nothing. I'm nobody. But I got invited to the banquet and I accepted the invitation. So the servant comes back and he says, we've still got room left. Then he said, here's what I want you to do. I want you to go out into the highways and hedges, and I want you to compel them to come in. Do you know why? Because God loves those people who live 22,000 feet above sea level up on the Himalayas. And God's sending people there to tell them that they're invited. He loves those people in Africa who are sitting in a little mud hut on a dirt floor. And so He's sending missionaries there to tell them that they're invited to the feast. He's down in Central America to folks who live so far up the mountain that a billy goat can't get there. And He's sending missionaries there to tell them that He loves them. In China, where folks are not allowed to have a Bible and they're not allowed to speak the name of Christ, He's sending missionaries there to tell them that they're invited to the banquet. That's your job and that's my job, to go and compel them. It's our job to go tell them that God loves them. Our job is to populate heaven. I want you to notice, draw attention to verse 24. If you don't accept the invitation here, you don't get a second chance. They turned the invitation down and they missed it. See, table lesson number 4 is don't miss the supper. Now you may be thinking, well, I want to be a Christian someday, but not today. I was at a banquet this week called Hearts and Hands. It was folks that had CPR performed on them this year, and they survived. You know, it was incredible to be in that room. And if you look around that room, there are 13 survivors of that had CPR. Were you there, Mick? They called your name. 13 people that had CPR performed on and they lived. Can I tell you, the youngest one was 10 years old. 10. You don't know when your tomorrow is going to be the last tomorrow. You don't know when your day is going to be the last today. And if you've never made Christ your Lord, don't miss the banquet. Don't miss it. It's going to be glorious. It's going to be wonderful. And the only people that get, all of us have been invited, but it's only those who accept the invitation that get to go. Let's stand, please. Father, I love your stories in your word. And God, you've given us stories because they're easy to understand. And we can all relate to a supper and being invited. And God, even today, you extend the invitation to all of us to come and dine. I pray for those in here that need to accept that invitation, that on this day, God, need to give their heart and life to you, to give them courage to do that. God, no matter what the excuse they have, God, I pray that you'd take it away, that your Holy Spirit would begin even now to speak to them. I pray for my brothers and sisters, God, that have not been good about taking your word and taking the invitation to those that they know, that this would be the day, God, that they would make that commitment to telling others about your Son and our Savior. And it's in His name we pray. Amen. If you've never made Jesus your Lord, I want to invite you to come today as we sing, Richard.